Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God in Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that is good or sound, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being wealth. Or the things that money can buy. Money or the things that money can buy. Material things. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Father, we're glad for this privilege to be assembled in the house of God. We're thankful for the presence of the Lord that we've already felt in this place, for the message we've heard, Sunday school, and in the songs. We thank you this morning, Lord, for the Word of God. We pray that you'd help us to be instructed out of your Word, corrected by your Word, and equipped by your Word, to be workers and laborers in the kingdom of God, to have with us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that we may be able to overcome our adversary. Father, may we hide your Word in our heart, that we might not sin against God. I pray this morning that you'd enable me to declare the message of God, to speak the mind of God to this congregation. May your Spirit enable me this morning, and we'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I would like to speak to you this morning for a few minutes with the help of the Lord on God or mammon. The Bible says in my text in Matthew chapter 6, and verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So it is God or mammon, but not both. And we are faced in life, all of us are faced in life with this stark choice, God or mammon. Some people choose God. Clear-cut choice. No questions about it. Everybody knows what their choice is because their life reflects that choice. They have chosen God. Others choose mammon. They make no secret of their detestation of God because you love one and hate the other. And everybody knows that they have chosen another route. not the true and living God. They chose mammon. But I think that the greatest peril is those that are convinced that they can choose God and mammon. That's the greatest danger. The greatest danger is not to those who choose clearly mammon, but the greatest danger is those who think they can have God and mammon. But I'm preaching to you that it's God or mammon. You can't have God and mammon. This doctrine of God and mammon is the doctrine of Balaam. It's the teaching of Jezebel. It's the prevailing philosophy of the Christian world. It's the teaching that one can serve two masters, that you can worship two gods. It really amounts to a return to polytheism, the worship of many gods. You know, the deception in our age is this. It's the denial in us of what's plain to those who know us well, that the person we call God doesn't have our whole heart. He isn't the object of our sincere affections. He does not command our undivided attention. He doesn't elicit a loyalty in us that's greater than our loyalty to anything or anybody else in the world. A loyalty that is so strong that we had rather die than give up our relationship to that God. I mean, people around us understand that person we call God don't have that kind of loyalty in our life. But we refuse to call that God which does demand our loyalty, our time, our energy, our affection. This is our deception. We call that God which we refuse to worship, which we refuse to give our ultimate loyalty to, we call that God. But we refuse to call that God which really controls the reins of our life. That's the deception of the modern time. God and mammon. The doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of Jezebel, that this loyalty we owe to God need not be singular. It can be plural. This is the age-old struggle between an unseen God and those things that we can see, that are tangible, that we can put our hands on. It's between a loyalty given to God, the unseen God, that is mocked by the world, and a loyalty that we give to mammon that is approved by the world. And the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that men will praise you if you do well for yourself. But when you give to God ultimate loyalty, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The world understands my worship of mammon, but they don't understand my worship of the true and living God. To them, it is foolishness to worship a God who gave his son on a cross. It's foolishness to give ultimate loyalty to a savior you cannot see. It's foolishness to live for a world you've never laid eyes on. It's foolishness to base your life on principles found in the Word of God. And I tell you now, y'all hearing me this morning, the loyalty owed to God is much greater than most professing Christians care to know. And for that reason, the Word of God is neglected, and the Bible is neglected because people do not want to know the will of God. They do not want to know the loyalty owed to the true and living God. For this Word, the Bible tells us, it is inspired of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, for reproof, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We really don't want to know sometimes the loyalty that's owed to the true and living God. Now, in my text this morning, there's a concept of treasure. I read to you about that, didn't I? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So wherever your treasure is, that is where your heart is this morning. If your treasure is in heaven, if Jesus is your treasure, if the Word of God is your treasure, if the people of God is your treasure, your heart is right here this morning. Hallelujah. And you're worshiping God and you love the people of God and the house of God and the Word of God and the presence of God. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Our treasure is what we consider valuable. But the treasure he's talking about is what we consider of supreme value. So mammon is a perversion of our values. That's what it is. So that we value the temporal over the eternal. We value things seen over things unseen. We value the present world over the world to come. We value pleasure for a season over pleasures evermore. For the Bible tells us at his right hand, there are pleasures evermore. We value earth over heaven. We value the approval of men over the approval of God. We value the body over the soul. I'm talking about the perversion of values that's created by mammon. We value the body over the soul. So we're willing to sacrifice the security of the soul for the pleasure of the body. We value self-satisfaction over divine satisfaction. And the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So there's this concept of treasure. What is your treasure this morning? Because wherever your treasure is, this is where your heart will be also. Then there's a concept of seeking. You notice in my text this morning in verse 32, he said, after talking about drinking, the drink, eating, clothed, being clothed, and all of these things, material things, he says, for after all these things, what did he say? Gentiles seek. Well, we thought he'd have said Jews, wouldn't we? We'd have thought, this is what the Jews do. But that's not what he said. He said, after all these things, did the Gentiles seek? Now, what he's really referring to are those outside of Christ. This is the attitude of the world. This is the value system of the world. After all of these things, do the Gentiles seek? These people outside of the fold of Christ, their heart is set on material things. So that mammon is their God. Here's the contrast. Verse 33. But you, now this is for you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what did he promise? All these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. So that you don't have to worry about them. You don't have to be anxious about them. When you have gotten your priorities right, he said, all of these things shall be added unto you. When there's a preoccupation with material things in our life, it results in worry and anxiety. That's the reason why he says over and over again in this passage, take no thought. Now, he doesn't mean that you're not to think ahead. He just means don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Don't be overburdened by the material things of life. And when you understand what is the real treasure in life, and you're seeking after the best things in life, hallelujah, you don't have to be worried and anxious and overwrought and overburdened by material things. Well, we've got a wonderful promise here, saints. But there is a conflict in those who want God and mammon. And here's the conflict. The conflict is between the commands of Christ and the demands of our desires. This is the conflict that comes about whenever mammon gets our heart. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, it did not say that money is the root of all evil. It said the love of money is the root of all evil. So a man, a woman can have money and not have the love of money. And a person can be poor and yet be afflicted by the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now that does not mean that every time a person sins, it's due to the fact that they love money. But it means this. If I am motivated by the love of money, I am willing to do anything under the right circumstances to get what I want. So that covetousness is a root sin that causes us to be willing to break the commandments of God in order to get what we want. When mammon is put beside of God, and I'm telling you, in the Christian world all across America, the idol of mammon stands right beside the Lord Jesus in most churches in America right now. And no doubt in hearts right here, in this congregation this morning, thou soul's torn between a love for God and a love for the things of this world. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The commands of Christ clash with the demands of our desires, so that the commands of the Lord get in the way of what we are seeking. And I want to tell you now, listen to me, when you labor to be rich, the commands of Christ will always get in your way. Now there are people who are rich who did not labor to be rich. God added it to them. It was a blessing and a test. When riches multiply in your life, You recognize God has blessed me, but at the same time you understand this is a test of my loyalty to God. And really, prosperity and the blessing of wealth is probably the greatest test the Christian ever faces. Not prison, not being beaten for their testimony, but the greatest test of the Christian church is when we need nothing. So, this, the commands of Christ, get in the way whenever mammon creeps into our life. It's the Lord's day, but there's an opportunity for money to be made. So what do we do? Do we sacrifice the house of God to make a little more money? Or what do we do when we're faced with that choice? The commands of God always get in the way when mammon creeps into our life. When it comes time to report income, taxes are due. We understand if we tell the truth, It's going to cost us. So, to keep a few more dollars, we'll fudge a few figures and sign our name at the bottom that we told the truth. And the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Y'all ain't shouting over that. But I'm telling you, it's the truth. We're talking about mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. You got to make a choice in life. Who's going to be my God? It's either God or mammon. The commands of Christ get in our way. Listen to me. When the finances get tight and gas prices go high and things have got to be cut back, where do we start cutting? Huh? Where do we start cutting? I'll tell you where a lot of people start cutting. They start cutting on their tithes. They start cutting on their church attendance. They start on their missions offering. This is where they start cutting. Instead of forfeiting that new grill. Or scrapping plans for that new car. Or cutting back on eating out. Or buying less junk food. Or planning a cheaper vacation, a little closer to home, or maybe staying at home. Why, we'll just cut back on what we give God. We'll let the missionary do without, not us. We'll let the work of God do without, not us. Listen, brother, I'm telling you about the challenge to us this morning is between God and mammon. I'll tell you what, you can just defeat the devil if you want to. When the gas prices go up and the devil says, hey, you can't keep going to the house of God. You've got to cut back on your attendance at church. You just ain't got the gas to do it. Say, devil, watch me. Watch me. I'm going to go a little bit more regularly than I ever have. And trust God to put gas in this tank. And God, instead of making the missionary do without, I just won't buy any ice cream this week. Whew. Boy, that's rough. Or I'll skip Ryan's this week. Or maybe I'll just drive this old clunker a little while longer. Y'all still with me? We got to check our motive, you know. We all have to work. We all have to make a living. We all have to have money, a certain amount of it. We all have to have these things to get along in life. It's a shame for a man not to work. It really is a shame for a man not to make a living for his family. I'm telling you. And I know sometimes people get, you know, caught up in circumstances where that's impossible. They make it sick, different things where that's impossible. I understand those things. But the Bible clearly tells if a man don't work, neither should he eat. But we have to check our motives. What are we working for? What's our purpose? What's our motive? What's our drive? What's our object? What is our goal? Bible says in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, I want to ask you a question. Could you go to work in Eden, North Carolina? Is it Budweiser? Is that what it is down there? Miller Brewing. Could you go to work at Miller Brewing in Eden, North Carolina, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, saying, thank you, Lord, that I can make this old beer and supply these people out here that's wrecking cars and killing folks and breaking up homes and causing all kinds of family problems. And thank you, Lord, that I can work in this place to supply the people that has this sinful weakness in their life. Can you do that? All right, Lord, this is what we're to do. Do everything in the name of Jesus Christ and give thanks to God and the Father by Him. We got to check our motives. So I'm going to miss church today in the name of Jesus because I got a little something extra to do at home. And I'm going to give thanks to God and the Father that I can miss church today. Well, I'm going to sign this IRS form. I've cooked the books a little bit. But in the name of Jesus, I'm going to sign my name that I told the truth and give thanks to God and the Father that I could lie to the IRS. Now you know that's foolishness. Don't you know that's foolishness? So I'm telling you, brother, that when your heart is right and your mind is fixed on the one true and living God, it controls your actions and your thoughts and your mind. And there really is no conflict in your heart when your mind is made up. I'm going to serve the Lord with all of my heart. Praise God. And it doesn't matter what it costs you. So it costs you a few dollars. Maybe it costs you a job. Do you not know that God's got another one for you? So it costs you a little bit in life to obey God. What does it matter, brother? We're not living for this world. We're living for the world to come. Some people have Reverend Ike's philosophy. Y'all know Reverend Ike? Been a long time since I heard from him, but he never got no money out of me. And his philosophy was, he said, it's not the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's the lack of money that's the root of all evil. And so he went about to make sure he didn't lack. And he's a rolling it in, far as I know. At least he was. At one time, he was rolling it in. But now listen to me. The misery of the human race is not due to their financial condition, but to their spiritual condition. Did you hear me? I said the misery of the human race is not due to their financial condition. It's due to their spiritual condition. This is the real problem. It's not your pocketbook. It's your heart. This is the real problem. It's your heart. And this is what God wants to fix this morning. He wants to fix your heart. He wants to fix your spiritual condition so that whether you've got little or much, you can be happy in Jesus. Some rich people are miserable. They thought it was going to bring them happiness. It wound up breaking up their families, robbing them of the joy they thought they had, and wrecking their lives. I read somewhere it was unbelievable how many Lotto winners wind up in bankruptcy. It was unbelievable. But you know there are poor people that are happy. Hallelujah. There are people that live in mud huts that are happier than you are this morning. Yeah, don't have a chair in the house. Sleep on a dirt floor and they're happier than you are. Because it's not your financial condition that's your primary problem. The primary problem in your life is your spiritual condition. God wants to do something about your spiritual condition this morning.
Yes, He does.
I'm telling you, you may not be hearing me this morning. You may not be listening to me, but I'm telling you something that'll do you good if you'll listen to this preacher. It's your heart, not your pocketbook, that God is after. God's after who you are and what you are.
Hallelujah. He's a calling to you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can fill your pocketbook up, fill your bank up, and go to hell miserable. But if you get Jesus, I'm telling you, brother, you can't help but be happy with Jesus. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. A young girl, certain place, years ago, that I knew. Her mom and dad and her family were in the Holiness Church, doing wonderful. Great. Family was a great blessing in the house of God. Dad was involved in the house of God. He's a deacon in the house of God. He was such a blessing, faithful to the house of God, on time for church, hung around after church to greet and fellowship with the saints of God. And a businessman, a backslidden holiness preacher, businessman, offered him a chance to get in business. So I'll set you up. You'll make some money. He agreed to do it. He started making money. Now listen, just because an opportunity comes along to make money don't mean that's the will of God. You understand that? Just because it's a promotion does not mean that's the will of God. You better be sure when you accept that, that it's the will of God. This man started making money. I saw him. I told him. One day I said, you know, this is a test for you. You're making money. And it's a test of your spiritual life. Oh, he said, I believe I can handle it. Years went by. You know, it just starts out with little things. Y'all hearing me now? It starts out with little things. He started dragging in late to the house of God. Just dragging in. And then before long, he's rushing out before the dismissal. He wasn't hanging around the fellowship. And he started missing a service every now and then. And you know, you miss that first one, you feel bad. You miss two, you don't feel quite as bad. Miss three, then four, then five, and you're pretty well found an excuse why you don't need to be in the house of God. And he started missing. And then there was a lustful spirit got a hold of his heart toward his daughter-in-law. He started spending time with his daughter-in-law. And they started going down to, you know, I don't know, some of these, you check out these movies. I don't know the name of them, but Blockbuster or somewhere. Checking out some movies, putting them in the video player, watching bedroom scenes together. Father-in-law with daughter-in-law. People at the church agree, they know something's going on, something's not right. But it was just one step at a time that took him to this point. His wife found out about it. She's in church. She's a good woman. She's praying. She's brokenhearted. She's crying. The children are upset. They give the YFC service, the youth service one night to this young girl. They don't know what she's going to do. But she stands up and she tells about a family. And everybody knows what family she's talking about. That was a family, she said. They were all in the house of God. They were poor, but they were happy. They had a home. She cried. She wept. And that family started making money. And they started prospering. And she said, now, that family's miserable. It's broken. And she wept and cried. It was her family. Now, I'm not saying that poverty is equal to righteousness. I'm not saying that. But what I'm probing this morning is your heart. I want to know what direction your heart's in. I want to know what your treasure is. I want to know what you talk about. I want to know where you give your money. I want to know what you do with your resources. I want to know whether there's evidence in your life that you love God, that He's supreme, the treasure of your soul. I'm telling you, Jesus is after your heart this morning. And He promised us this. Young ladies, young men, hear me now. Some of you here, and you want a husband, you want a girlfriend, you want a boyfriend, you want all these things. I want to tell you what to do. Don't seek a boyfriend and seek a girlfriend. Seek God. Seek God. Put God first in your life. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All of the things you need will be added unto you. God knows where you're at. He knows what you need. Seek Him first. Put God first in your life. Mamas and dads, it is a pitiful witness to your children when you tell them God is important, all important, and they look at your life and wonder, where is God in your life? Why don't you pray? Why don't you read the Bible? Why are you not faithful to the house of God? They wonder, where is God in your life? How important is Jesus to you? I'm telling you, godliness is the one thing that's profitable in this world and in the world to come. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I said it's the one thing that's profitable in this world and in the world to come. Hallelujah. Oh, I think we ought to pray this morning. Let's stand together. Altars are open. Come on into these altars. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.